Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is Amika George to talk about her book, Making It Happen, How to Be an Activist. Amika is a 20-year-old student at Cambridge University who at the age of 17 started the Free Periods campaign from her bedroom to end period poverty in the UK. Amika started an online movement, organised a protest in London attended by over 2,000 young people and launched a legal campaign. In 2019, her campaign successfully persuaded the UK government to provide free menstrual products in all English schools and colleges from January 2020. Welcome to the show, Amika.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. Thanks for joining us. And congratulations. What an amazing and wonderful thing you managed to achieve.
Thank you. Yeah, kind of, it was a long journey. It took about 2.5 years to continue campaigning and eventually convince the government to make the change. And I'm so glad that eventually it did happen. And the scheme is now functioning in all schools and colleges in England, so the teachers can provide free products for their students, which is great. Unfortunately, the scheme does have some drawbacks in that each individual school has to order the number of products that they need. So unfortunately, not enough schools, we haven't quite reached that 100% uptake. So we're encouraging as many schools as possible all over the country to order the products that they need.
And what was the inspiration for you? What made you start this campaigning?
So when I was 17 and I was at school, I'd never really thought about the idea of period poverty. It wasn't really something that I was really aware of until I read an article one morning about girls in the UK having to miss sometimes up to a week of school every month just because they didn't have that access to pads and tampons. Their families weren't able to afford the product, so they just stayed at home and missed out on, you know, a whole week of education every month, which is obviously a huge amount of time when you're at secondary school or even primary school. It's just really vital to be there every day. And it really horrified me, and I began to look into it. I did some research and talked to my friends and family, and I just thought that even though people were reading about this news story, I don't think there was really any response from the government at all, and they just didn't seem to want to change anything, even though a lot of people in the public eye were condemning it. And that's when I started Free Periods, and it began as an online petition, and then eventually it grew into a social media movement, and we held an in real life protest in London at the end of 2017, which was attended by about 2,000 people, all kind of shouting for change and saying that they really, really wanted to see an end to period poverty in our country. And eventually it did happen 2 years later.
Amazing. Fantastic. So what kind of response did you get initially when you were starting the campaign and the petition? Did people think you were crazy, or did people, everybody get behind you straight away?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it was a mixed response. I think in terms of online, people who saw the campaign were really supportive, which I was really grateful for. And I was getting messages all the time through social media from people saying they wanted to help, or, you know, wanted to spread the message beyond the UK, or, you know, even within their school or workplace, which was really incredible and reassuring to see. I guess in terms of politicians and people who had the power to make the change, they weren't always the most receptive, or sometimes they were kind of slightly dismissive of like a 17-year-old girl who wanted to change government policy. So it did happen relatively slowly, but the MPs who did support were amazing in pushing it through and you know, making moves to try and eventually make it happen. So I think I'd say it's a mixed response overall. I guess what was really disheartening was it did trigger quite a lot of hate and people online being quite nasty, saying that they didn't believe that period poverty was real, that they thought that, you know, the responsibility should lie with the parents, and they just made kind of assumptions, saying that the parents obviously just like wasting their money on cigarettes and alcohol and things like that, which, you know, most of the time I actually just didn't even bother responding to those people because I thought, it, to me, that's just reflective of the level of ignorance that there is around just how extreme, just how prevalent extreme poverty is in this country. Because a lot of the time we do have a slightly misled sense of belief that you know, there's no such thing as poverty, and we're you know, we're the fifth largest economy or whatever, and everyone's doing okay. But actually, I think an issue like period poverty really shone a light on the fact that if there are girls who are too poor to go to school, then we have a really serious problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's shocking, isn't it? As you say, you were shocked when you read that. And I think for anyone who hadn't heard the story or wasn't aware of your campaign, I think people will be shocked to know that period poverty was a real thing. I mean, do you think the changes that have happened now because of you and your campaigning in the schools has made a huge difference to a lot of families and girls around the UK?
I hope so. I mean, we've received a lot of testimonies that say that it's having a really positive impact, particularly amongst those students who originally were missing school because they didn't have the access. Mm-hmm. But I guess it's also just shown that this obviously isn't a problem that's exclusive to school age students. It happens, you know, women of all ages are affected by it, and plenty of kind of homeless women or asylum seekers and refugees are still having to rely on charity support and donations to get the products that they need. And as well as that, it's also obviously not a problem that's exclusive to the UK either. This is something that's happening across the world. The fact that it's happening in the UK, I also think, does show that it's probably happening in every single country, no matter how quote unquote developed. And I think it also shows that because there's quite a stifling stigma and taboo around menstruation that stops us from having that conversation around access to the products, this has become a bit of a silent issue that a lot of people and a lot of politicians particularly are shy about talking about and are therefore kind of reluctant to pass legislation on.
It's madness that there's a taboo about it, isn't it? I mean, that's just utterly ridiculous that anyone, especially women, I mean, should feel uncomfortable talking about it. It's something that all girls and women have to go through. It shouldn't be a taboo subject at all.
I agree. I mean, it's a completely normal biological process, so it doesn't really make sense. I think the more you question it, the more you realise the taboo is completely meaningless. And in my opinion, it's just, you know, it's just another one of the kind of quote unquote women's issues that we are kind of socialised into thinking are shameful or disgusting or, deserve to be kept under wraps. So I think we're slowly breaking out of that stigma, and I hope that kind of campaigns like mine have contributed to opening up that conversation and breaking down that stigma and that shame slowly.
One of the things which is amazing about your campaign and what you've done, and really inspirational, I think, for other young people, is what you managed to achieve at such a young age. You know, there'll be adults that will think, oh, there's no point in me contacting the government, I'm not going to get anywhere. But for you to have done all this at the age of 17 is really, really impressive, and hopefully will inspire others that if changes should be made, then it is worth trying to get them to happen.
I agree, yeah. And I really hope that my book, Make It Happen, kind of, it tells my story of activism from the very beginning when I was 17, and I'm now 22. So I've been doing this for quite a long time, and I made a lot of mistakes, and I kind of outline all of those in the book. But, you know, my main underlying aim for the book is that everyone who reads it eventually decides to start their own campaign. It doesn't have to be something as, you know, ambitious as trying to change the law or change government policy. It can be something small in school, in workplace, just within your local community. And, you know, I really do believe that if everyone kind of just did that, if everyone believed that they could make change no matter what their age or gender or, you know, social background, then we would live in a much better world.
Definitely. And really amazing, you were listed by Time magazine as one of the 25 most influential teenagers in the world.
Thank you.
That's incredible. Thanks.
I was very honored to be part of that list, and I think it's great, obviously, to see, you know, young people being recognised for the things that they do, particularly within politics, because I think growing up, I looked at, you know, the House of Commons, for example, or Parliament, and didn't see many young MPs or, you know, people of colour or even women. So I think it's great that kind of activism enables people who don't traditionally have political influence to get involved in, you know, shaping society and making change.
So who do you see reading the book? Who, when you wrote it, who do you imagine will be going into a bookstore and picking it up?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I would hope that I've written it for everyone because the, as I said, the message is really that anyone can do this. I truly, I don't believe that there's anything like particularly special or unique about me that meant that I could lead a successful campaign. But ultimately, I would really hope that young people, particularly people who, you know, even under the age of 18, because as I said, when I started it, I was just 17. I was at an age when I couldn't even vote. So I really didn't feel like I had any sort of political voice. And so campaigning and activism really gave me that. So I hope that those young people who maybe feel a bit fed up, you know, you look at the news or, you know, you just look at the world and society today, it can feel quite scary. It can feel quite stressful to think about, you know, from the climate crisis to inequalities and, you know, to COVID, it's quite an intimidating place. And it's quite a I think people of my age often look at society and are quite stressed about what the future might look like. And in my opinion, activism really does give you some power to, you know, make small changes at least that contribute to changing the world for the better.
Yeah. So what have you been doing since the Free Periods campaign?
So as I said, we're still active. We're still scrutinising the scheme and encouraging schools to sign up to the government scheme. And I've also been working on the book and doing my own kind of personal activism and talking about, as I said, why I think it's so important that young people are recognised in politics, particularly. But then when I started it, I was preparing for my A-levels, and then since then I've done my A-levels and graduated from university. So I graduated in July last year, so I'm still kind of working out what I want to do with my future, and I'm still in that kind of post-graduation period, kind of just prioritizing taking a bit of a
And what did you study?
I did history.
Wow, okay, interesting. Yeah. And you know, did you just pick history because you're interested in history, or did you have an idea of what you might do with it?
Yeah, I guess it was kind of my favorite subject. It's something that I've always felt kind of fit quite nicely with the activism and campaigning that I was doing additionally to my degree, because I was able to, you know, look at social change through history and how politics has worked. And I just really love history, to be honest. I just really enjoyed my degree, and I was able to study a range of time periods and regions and different approaches to history. So yeah, I'm hoping to kind of continue studying it, maybe doing a master's or something next year.
Great stuff. Well, if people want to get a copy of the book, it's called Make It Happen, How to Be an Activist, and it's by Amika George, who we've been chatting with. People can get the book from our website, tre.radio. Amika, thanks so much for joining us. Lovely to chat with you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.